Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. One of our favorite guests of all time, our boy, Daryl D. Ray Reynolds of Stay Tuned Network, joins the boys to talk some hoops and sports in general, baby. So this is one you don't want to miss. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, because they're free. So 248 coming hot at you guys in Sode 247. And on the show, I'll be joined by Alex Tossman, Eric Disopoulos, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And as you heard in the introduction, we have D-Ray Daryl Reynolds of Stay Tuned Network, our boy. You remember him from the Villanova Wildcat Championship team in 2016. He's back to talk some hoops. He's been covering the Big East, and he's been crushing it. So without further ado, D-Ray joins TCS. Enjoy. Back-to-back shows with back-to-back returning guests. This is a personal favorite of ours, our man Daryl Reynolds. D-Ray joins the boys again for another episode. D-Ray, how you doing, brother?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Yeah, I love being on here with y'all. Like, this shit, I could tell this is about to be funny already. And Nick, nice to meet you, man. I know you had some things going on last time.
Some crazy things.
What was it? So, I mean, for those who don't remember, because it was many moons ago, we used to do a thing where we would pretend Nick was somewhere and then say he was, but when he was actually unable to attend a show, we would make up something ridiculous. We don't do it anymore because I think I took it too far one time and said he was in the hospital and people were actually concerned, and then we had to kind of backtrack a little bit.
Yeah, that's not true.
That wasn't.
Yeah, I played it back for them just right now. You said that I was, I booked a job and it was for the Los Angeles Chargers calendar shoot, and it was a nude shoot, and I was the only male in December, and I had like presence surrounding me, and then one over my crotch.
Nice, dude. That's look how far the Charity Stripes come. That used to be our content, and now we're getting serious, man. Now we're getting serious. And D-Ray, you kind of bought it when we told you that?
I mean, once y'all started, the further in depth y'all got, I was like, they're fucking with me. There's something out here. But at first, like when you first started, I was like,
All right.
How you live, you know what I mean?
You got to do what you got to do. It could be worse, man. There could be a pole involved in some
exactly.
background. But that's what Nick was doing. D-Ray, what have you been up to? Because you've been kicking ass and taking names, man.
My man, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I've obviously with everything going on, you know, with the protests and the, you know, reforms they're asking for from the criminal justice system to the police departments, like been heavy on that and really just advocating for that and educating people. I think the most recent thing was me, Stu Jackson, and some people from the Big East. We did a show together talking about it. So been taking that very serious, but also been getting in some work. Man, Taz, you said the other day, like you saw the AI stuff debate we had on the Sixers show. And I'm not going to lie, we're at a point where like we have the Sixers show, the Process Podcast with Bros and D-Ray, and we don't have shit to talk about. So like we're literally just throwing anything out there. And I was saying,
got a month and a half left.
Exactly. I don't know how we're going to stretch it, but.
I feel like the player comps, it's just so unfortunate that outside of AI and like Dr. J, you guys are really hung loose because there was no one on that NBA title. Yeah. I feel like we talk about it. We've been talking about it a lot recently. Maybe it's in the house or just around. That team that Allen Iverson took to the finals was hot garbage.
It was comparable to that team that LeBron went to the finals with. Shit, in 07 and 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you compare AI and LeBron, and it's like LeBron is such a better rebounder because he's 8 inches taller than Allen is. Like it's not even a fair comparison. And AI is out there. I mean, he was so good on the defensive side of the ball. He was a nightmare one on one.
Facts.
He's picking your pocket. He's taking it the other way.
Facts. I'm gonna tell y'all straight. Like AI is Philly loved him so much because he just embodied it. Like. The whole had no business out there is like what Philly people live for. You know, you look at him and Rocky, like those are two figures. Obviously, one of them's real. The other one was made up in the movie.
He might as well be real, though, honestly. That movie is real life sometimes. My buddy sent me a Mount Rushmore the other day. He's like, who's your Mount Rushmore sports movie characters? I would love to hear yours. Such a tough question. And I almost excluded Rocky. I was like, hey, can I include real players? I put Herman Boone. First, who's actually like a real human being. Remember the Titans.
Yes, the coach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay. I more easily
considered him who's an actual real human being before I considered Rocky because I was so like dead set that Rocky was a real dude.
Rocky's real. If you ask, it was this one comedian that ripped the shit. He got booed off a stage at Helium, this comedy club in Philly. And he went in and one of the comments made, he was like, y'all favorite character is fucking fictional. And like everybody in the crowd, like, you know what I mean? Like, you take a second to realize, like, shit, he's right. He went in on cheesesteaks and all.
Yeah. Wait, I mean, that was Bill Burr, I think, who said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bill Burr's roasted in Philly.
He's loosely based off of Marciano, though, isn't he? Like, very loosely.
Yeah. But we can't, I mean, there's a statue of him. There's a statue of him.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I remember I had some friends from Boston. They came.
There's the Liberty Bell, and there's a statue of Rocky.
Of Rocky. Like,
I know you. I know your ass has posed next to that before. I'll bet any song. Hell no.
My friends from Boston came there like, "Be able to the Rocky statue," and I was like, "I guess." Take a picture next to the movie DVD. It's
four different friends. Everyone's got a Rocky, different Rocky movie next to them, next to it. It's amazing. Exactly. Wait, who did you took AI over Steph? Really? Are you team Steph? Are you being real?
So the debate came down. What really the debate was I saw it in the picture with LeBron, Kobe, Jordan. Nobody can debate their impact on the game. And they were saying that Steph was next up. I'm like, how the hell y'all just mill over AI? Like, AI shook Jordan. AI inspired LeBron. AI gave Kobe work. Like, how do y'all just skip over the guy who, you know, was kind of in the middle of all of them? And the debate was that who had a bigger impact on basketball?
Yeah.
And after my barber said, like, every kid wants to shoot threes because of Steph, what does every kid want to do because of AI? And I thought about it like, shit, he's right. He had a bigger impact on basketball. I think AI had a bigger impact on culture.
Interesting.
I think that, like, yes, obviously, it's a little bit of a recency bias. And I would probably give the same answer that your barber did. Like, through and through, like Steph has.
Barbers know their shit, bro.
They really do. They're so well informed. If you just think about a barber, they're always listening all day long. They're just listening to people come into the chair. They get to hear a lot of different perspectives. They take in what they like, they throw away what they don't, and then they go about on their day. And they can give you sick haircuts.
That's where you get that term barbershop talk.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, bro.
But I think that people forget that, like, in 2000, you know, from 2001 to 2006, 2007, every kid wanted to be able to cross people over like AI. the crossover was Allen Iverson. Like, they had a sports science on how much pressure Allen Iverson's crossover can do, and it could actually break like a human male's ankle, like the amount of like PSI or something like that, which, like, who knows if that's actually true. But
they milk and turn those things into the weirdest. Like, they're like, this guy, he'll, you know, hit a crossover, next thing you know, the guy's broken his spleen and shit himself on the court. That's how they'll twist those things in sports times. But it's, you know, but then you bring up the point of, like, who's he inspired, and you bring up the crossover toss. It's like, where's Kyrie without AI? Right? Yeah. Where's Kemba without
Steph?
It? Yeah.
Steph.
Where's Steph without it? Yeah. Listen, yeah, obviously people like the Steph's three game obviously is crazy, but what about Steph's ability to get to the basket and finish around the basket for a 6'1" guy?
Exactly.
Or 6'3", whatever he's at.
He just embodied, like I said he was the definition. Like, you talk about Muggsy, you talk about Isaiah Thomas, but at the end of the day, like, that heart over hype mentality, that was him. Yeah. He used to go to the basket, just get thrown to the ground, and like, he would just pop up immediately. Like, he had no business being under there, but he would make it happen time and time. And like, that was, I guess, the Philly in me couldn't let go of that. Like,
he's so there's certain guys that just embody their team, and obviously you have like Kobe, Lakers, Jeter, Yankees, Brady, you know, Patriots. But there's certain guys that really just, you know, it makes sense that they're there. And he's exactly one of those guys in Philly that's like, okay, it fits the vibe, it fits the culture over in Philly. We had another debate. I want you to weigh in on this. Toss and I were arguing for the upteenth time about basketball. I brought it home to my father this morning, who I couldn't drink my coffee because he was going through list after list trying to, you know, prove some point over it. Uh-huh. Jason Tatum, top 15 player. We're on the fence about it. Mainly because, would you put Embiid right now over Tatum or Simmons for that matter?
Yes. And that's not the Sixers in me. Yes. I'm putting Embiid over Tatum.
Simmons as well?
That's a toss up.
It's like one's just like the pure scorer, and the other one's like the pure playmaker. It's tough. And they're both good defensive.
Right now. Top 15 right now, I got to give Jason Tatum over Ben Simmons. He's producing more. Who do I think will have a better career? Ben Simmons. He's the next Magic. But, yeah, right now I see what y'all saying. Jason Tatum he's produced more. He's done more. Like, he's done more what he's had, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he's got – I mean, everyone always harps on it. But it's like – in this comparison, I think it's relevant because Tatum has excelled – as a playmaker, his court awareness has grown a lot, and that's something that he's worked on. And Simmons still is finding the outside perimeter shooting. Mm-hmm. And so I think that kind of like Tatum's a more complete offensive player right now, which I think helps him out.
Just because he's so much more ahead as a scorer.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, I'll take the guy who I want shooting the last shot of the game over the guy who I kind of want not shooting the last shot of the game.
Exactly.
Or going to the rack. I mean, if we're down one, like, Ben, go to the rack or give Embiid a post touch. But other than that, like, I don't want Ben really touching the ball on the last play.
I would say, it ain't too many young players I could think of that I would want the ball in their hand more than Jason Tatum at the end of a game. And he has that clutch gene, too.
Yeah.
So hold on, who's the 13 in front of?
It's tough, bro. It's tough. I mean, there's LeBron, Kawhi, KD, Harden, Steph. That's five. Giannis is six. Then we said
AD. AD. Did you say AD?
AD, no. Lillard, Jokic, Yav and Embiid will throw in there. Butler, I think that's fair still, obviously.
I mean, I think on it, like, come on, maybe, man. I'm being biased, but I think Luka's better than Luka's.
No, yeah. I'm getting Luka. Yeah, I'm just throwing. I'm not going in any order. I'm just going.
Yeah.
Luka, yeah. So it's like 12, right?
Did you get James in there?
Who?
Did you get Harden already?
Yeah, I got Harden. And then I got, what about Kyrie? Healthy Kyrie?
Yeah.
Healthy Paul George? I mean, healthy Paul George finished third in MVP voting. I said Jokic already. I mean, at that point, we're close to like 14, 15.
And then you can kind of, then it's kind of like, you can argue different people. Like, you could argue Pascal. But
Russ, I'm still taking Russ Westbrook. I'm still taking Westbrook over him for sure.
Yeah.
Right now,
I don't know.
I do, bro. Westbrook was, man's hot right now. There was no man's hotter than Westbrook than
Tatum wasn't hot?
Not as hot.
Tatum was scorching, dude. What are you talking about?
Dude, if Tatum was scorching, Russ Westbrook was Human Torch. He was on fire, bro. I know you don't love Trae Young, but the man's also averaging 30 points a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, winning basketball is important.
I feel like Trae Young is going to be that guy that everybody gives their nod to because at the end of the day, the numbers are the numbers. But, like, it's just something about him.
But will he end up being kind of like what Kemba was the early part of his career because he's playing on a team that outside of himself
stinks,
is completely underperforming? Yeah. I hope not, because they've got a lot of young pieces who I like. Like, I hope DeAndre Hunter becomes just a solid 3-and-D guy, one of the best 3-and-D guys in the league, because I think he's got that potential.
Yeah, but the other day you were not too high on
Herter. Herter take a huge he took a huge step back this year. I was disappointed in him.
Everybody sees a white guy who could kind of shoot and like, all right, this guy's at least going for 11 a game and shooting 45% from three. Like, but everyone sees Hedo Turkoglu, but you know, Stojakovic 2.0. You know,
they all see Korver.
Yeah, I know. Poor guy, he ruined it for the white guys. Really,
talk about a 76ers guy. Yeah, right.
Korver is an every team guy. Who the hell has that? He's played every time I look up, he's on a different team. You know, what team he's on right now.
He was at his prime though when he was on the 76ers. I mean, he was a 17, 18 point scorer a game when he was with you guys.
Yeah, he was nice.
Where would you rank Iggy among your Sixers? Is he top? He's top 10 Sixers of all time, right?
I mean, Iggy, man, he had that all-star season. As AI was kind of, going out, Iggy was kind of moving in. I'd say Iggy's a top 10 Sixer for the campaign he put together here.
Yeah.
I remember that right before they had broke up the big three or the big four up in Boston. That playoff series, the Sixers had lost at home.
I thought you were gonna say right before they broke up the big three in Philly. I would love for you to name whatever fucking big three that was.
Please tell me who this.
Yeah, big please, three bro. I was like, D-Ray, you were like no Philly bias up until then, bro. I was like, okay.
It was Iggy, Young, Jrue Holiday, and Spencer Hawes.
Exactly. Spencer Hawes, bro. Oh, what a throwback to that guy, man.
He was the man.
He was good.
Quietly, he was the man. He was the man.
He was good.
He would work well in today's NBA because he could stroke it from three.
He was Kelly Olynyk before Kelly Olynyk, bro.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, he was better than Kelly Olynyk.
But did he have as cool of hair as Kelly Olynyk?
No way.
Because once we're at the bottom of the barrel, style counts. That's what once we're talking about role players, all that has to go in contention. Points. Yeah, exactly. How's it been? Because you were covering the Nova guys for a little bit, and now you're kind of you're doing full time Sixer stuff.
I'm doing both. I mean, shit. We don't know if college basketball's gonna be back this year. I'm pretty sure we'll be without fans. I don't know what that means for media, but
yeah.
I was with the Big East this past year, so heavy just Big East basketball, and that's what I want. You know what I mean? I couldn't imagine really doing the other conference right now. Like, it's such a. I played like Miles Powell. Like me under the interview, he was joking. He comes out the tunnel. It shit made me sick to my stomach because they beat us at Wells Fargo. Beat them, sorry. And he came. He comes out of the tunnel. He's like, "Big fella, I finally got one." And I was like, "Man, let's get the fucking interview over with." Like,
he's still competitive in you.
Let's do my job and get out of here. But like, I still played with a lot of the guys. I think this last class that just passed, those were the last guys that I played with. So
yeah.
The Big East is where it was at, but I'm transitioning to Sixers.
Dude, there were some teams, bro. There were some teams I really liked in the Big East. I was bummed. I think I had a Big East team going deep. It may have been.
Y'all.
Yeah, it may have been y'all too. I at the Super Bowl, I was very into you guys, and you were like not as into it as I was.
I mean, I just think that this year was a growth year for them. I hate that it's gonna be one of the biggest what ifs is what they would have done if they had got to the tournament this year. But like, Seton Hall was a Final Four team.
Yeah,
like, I couldn't argue that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pulling for Nova, but just the shakiness in the season, I saw a certain thing. Things kind of getting them as it did the last year with Purdue, as it did my senior year. Like, there are certain things you see that are going to cost that team down the line. Seton Hall to me was like, that is a Final Four team. And I would have loved it because it legitimizes the Big East. It's somebody else. I don't want it to turn into like, what's Gonzaga's conference, the WAC? where like they hilarious, but where, like, you know,
a, yeah,
huh?
Is that what they are?
The Mac.
Is it the WAC?
The Mac.
Are they the Mac?
Yeah,
sure.
I run a sports podcast. Why would I know? It's
hold on. I gotta look this up.
I'm pretty sure it is.
The Western
Athletic. No, it's the WCC now.
Oh, okay.
I knew that.
They changed it. Yeah, they changed it
something
from the Western Atlantic to the Western Coastal or something like that.
Okay. Who cares?
We all knew it was something.
I
can't keep up with the basketball conferences. And
listen, bro.
Football conferences are so much easier to keep up with.
If Shaquille O'Neal could come out and say he doesn't follow a team in the NBA unless they're top eight, I'm cool with not knowing what the hell they call themselves, because it really, outside of Gonzaga, does not matter in that conference.
Exactly. You know? That's why I was saying I wanted Seton Hall to make it far, because it legitimizes it.
And Gonzaga is about to be the new Clemson. Like, Clemson to college football is about to be Gonzaga to college bat. Who's going to beat them in that conference?
They got to win a natty first.
They do got to win a natty first. And
we were just talking about it the other day. They just pulled in Jalen Suggs, and that guy's nice. He's really good. Have you seen him play it all year?
Then go to 2K, and I think it's one of the downloads for your franchise you can do. I think it's like 2021 is one of the.
Because that's a good measure.
It's a decent measure. You can at least gauge an interest.
No, just type in Jalen Suggs highlights on Google search. That's a better measure.
All these guys have highlights out the app.
I know, but I feel like
if I had a mixtape, it'd be decent. You know what I'm saying? If someone would put together something for me that made me look. No, you don't even think I'd get a 3 out of 10 mix. Nick.
No, I'm just.
You might be able to set some good picks, maybe.
When I'm looking at a mixtape, I'm not like looking like give me the biggest, baddest highlight every single play. I'm looking at like the shot mechanics and like, as a guy who played, I'm like really digging deep into like how they're moving around. Like, is his left hand actually as good as his right hand? Like, how's his moves? Is he going straight to the basket, or is he messing around and like trying to mix the guy up and James Harden?
That's the former player in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm digging into it, man.
Yeah, Josh and I wouldn't have that perspective.
No, I'm just watching Mikey Williams yam over some poor guy who had like a kickboxing pad. Y'all see that? They're like hitting him, like no chance, smacking him.
Oh yeah, no, that shit was ridiculous. But you bring up a good point, Taz. Like that, you don't understand. So watching some of these kids' highlights, it's like I'll look at it. Like somebody should be like, yo, you gotta see that. Like, what's his name? Julian Newman, I think, was the kid.
Yeah,
everybody was like, you gotta see him. I remember this was like back when I was in college. They sent it to me. I was like, this kid fucking sucks. I was like, this kid is not good. I was like, I don't see what y'all see. Like, y'all are getting caught up in the hype with that. Like, those highlights really, the amount of highlights that they'll have a kid shake the shit out of somebody, and then they'll shoot, and the thing will cut off right before the shot goes up. I'm like, he make it? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I think that's the thing where, like, people end up buying into a guy like Andrew Wiggins, right? Because he's so athletically talented. But like, go look at his high school highlight reel. It's like, it's absurd because he's just dunking over everyone. But then once the defenders get bigger, they get stronger. You saw it at Kansas. He struggled a little bit his freshman year, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets into the league and he's still struggling because he's trying to find his body. He's trying to like work into his athleticism still because he's so long, right? But that's a guy who I'm excited for. He does. But he doesn't shoot as well as he should.
No. And he can't defend to save his life. Sorry.
Which, Andrew. if you've got the length to defend, like, that's a lot of that's just effort putting in the time.
Yeah, get in front of the guy. He's 6'8" and he's got a great wingspan. Like, get in front of the guy at least. It's a turnstile out there.
Remember when we thought like him and I'm not gonna say we. Remember when the world thought that him and Jabari Parker were LeBron and Carmelo reincarnated?
I mean, Jabari Parker. We were talking about it the other day. Jabari Parker is. If he doesn't get hurt, though, it's different, I think. Right? Am I wrong? The knee is a big thing. I don't know, big fella. You played. You know. Are you going to chalk? Can we get put an asterisk next to that, or are we being too kind?
I don't think it would have been what everybody thought it was. Like, the same way Andrew Wiggins was nowhere what everybody was projecting.
So you still would have – he would have fell short, you think, still?
I think he fell short. I don't think this short. Obviously, yeah, the knee injury after knee injury. What is he on, the Hawks now?
Wizards, maybe? I don't even know.
I don't even know.
Kings?
Point.
He might be on the Kings.
I think he was on like three different teams last year.
Yeah, he's Wizards, Hawks, Kings. I mean, he's all over the place. He's in the Bulls for a hot minute.
The Bulls he'll have signing. These stretches where he goes like 10 games and he drops 20 a game for 10 games. And then all of a sudden, like, he doesn't want to play anymore. Like, he's like, coach, I'm out. Or like, yeah, whatever it is.
It's
like,
a mentality thing.
It's got to be. It's got to be a mentality thing.
Hey, man, Wiggins.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I think I'm actually pretty excited about Wiggins. I know I kind of just shit talked him, but and he's so
you
good
have been. It's okay. We're allowed to turn. We're allowed to turn.
But he's on the Warriors, and I feel like things could work out really well for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, guys like Clay and Steph make everyone around them better. So
yeah,
he can only benefit from being there.
I mean, all you got to do is look at Harrison Barnes' contract, and you know that, right?
Yeah, but Jabari Parker got a fat contract from the Bulls a couple years back. He got like 2 years, $40 million. I was like, phew, Jesus, it's a lot of money.
Do you think a lot of these guys, like when you hear the they're supposed to be good. They're supposed to be great. Do you think these guys really get the money and just
skate?
Ghost.
Just kind of like bottom out.
I think
some
it happens
athletes
sometimes.
Do. I think.
I think there's two mentalities. There's the okay, like I've gotten what I've earned. You know, like I got to the point where I want to be. And then there's like the mindset of like okay, I have more to prove, or like I want to earn this money that like I've already, you know, I'm getting paid. You know what I mean?
I think we see it in the NFL more. Than we do the NBA. Is that fair to say, or am I crazy in that?
I think we see it in baseball more than anything.
Oh,
guys
yeah.
Guys get paid, and they suck.
Half of those guys are just out there to chew tobacco and spit seeds and slap ass. I mean, we all know that. That's what baseball's become. Yeah. You're right. Come on, dude. Thank God there's no daisies in the outfield. Thank God they can keep that shit trimmed because they'd be picking them.
I think part of it is like –
talk about it.
Like guys, young athletes set goals, right? And they set their first goal. Your first goal as a basketball player is, well, if you're good, I mean, mine was like, maybe I'll play college basketball. But I think if you're actually good, then you go, I want to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
I want to play in the NBA. And then once you get there, like you've accomplished that goal. And if you don't have like, if you're not continuously setting a goal for yourself, short term and long term, like it becomes difficult, right? You can kind of get lost in it. Like, and then you're given this massive contract and it's tough. I mean, I feel like there's guys like Jimmy Butler, who's like very determined, right? And that guy's like, I want to win a championship. We were talking about it with Ben Golliver.
Well, he's like, mature though.
Right, right. And you look at like the type of work he puts in the offseason. I mean, is there a bigger offseason beast than Jimmy Butler? Like that guy's absurd.
He's scary.
You got some pushback? I'm
yeah,
in.
Obviously he's got some hate. I was going to mention the Okafor, but I didn't want to like, give this guy a heart attack.
No. All right, Jahlil Okafor, I'm sorry. I never had faith in that. Jahlil Okafor plays like a 90s center. Like, he would have been great in the 90s, but when you looked at Duke's scheme, which was throw the ball to him and get out of the way, I was like, that's not going to cut it, especially in the NBA that he came into, which was it was probably the pinnacle of small ball. Like, that's before 3-and-D guys were like,
yeah,
really sought after. It's a pendulum swing. It's always going to go back and forth. Like, now we're coming up on an era where, like, people want multi-talented big men. It's going to be Jokic and be at the helm of it, the same way it was KG and Tim Duncan at the helm of the league in the early 2000s. Like, we're swinging back that way. But with Jimmy Butler, somebody had brought up a point. He was on Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird's show, and they asked and they said, true or false? You know what I'm talking about, right, Tad?
No, I don't, but...
Okay, so they said...
But I love their show. They're a good show.
Yeah, the shit. It's the shit. They said, true or false, did you only score 1 point in that legendary Minnesota practice? And he said, true. And at that point, it was like, it's like he's like this urban legend almost. Don't get me wrong. Jimmy Butler's a bad motherfucker. I can't negate that. He's tough. We wanted him in Philly. Can't negate that. But I'm starting to wonder how much of him is like fluff. Because after hearing that and several other things, it's like, is this bullshit? Are you louder than what you really are? And it's because you're so loud and so dynamic. You kind of look at it's like it's what's the kid's name from the Lakers?
Caruso.
It's like when you look at it for what it is, it's like that shit's very hype driven. He's not that good. It's just a highlight here, a highlight here. He's more pop than anything. Like,
yeah.
Is it safe to say that Jimmy Butler is not as ill as everybody thinks he is?
I think I would say everything about that I said about his mentality, and also say at the same time that he's not a complete offensive player. Like,
that's the issue.
Even he's had games, yes, where he's gone over 50, but like everybody gets hot now and then. Like, he's not doing that consistently. He's not scoring 25 points a game consistently, and that's like his one knock that what I would even say maybe pushes him out of that 15 that we were talking about, Josh, is because like,
I mean,
because he's deferred to these younger guys who are better scorers than he is on the Heat, because
he's not going to cut it in the playoffs.
Because he can, but he has. Yeah, we were talking about this. We were like, he has to play bigger than that in the playoffs. Yeah.
I saw a game where they won. He had like 5, 7, and 6. Which, yeah, you give me that 7 and 6, and I know he's playing hard D. You know that. You know he's locking up on D because he doesn't take shit.
Right, but Draymond Green's not the best player on the Warriors.
Exactly, and that you can't like the 5 points. Like Bam's not getting 30 in the playoffs against Giannis. If you get past Boston, or however it shakes out, or you know you guys whoever you have to play, Toronto, like. Bam's going to have a tough time against, you know, Gasol and Ibaka combo. I don't – if they're both old, they're going to rotate them, you know. Yeah. Butler can't – you can't, if you get five – if Jimmy Butler gets 5 points, they have a 0% chance to win that game. He needs to be 20-plus.
Something about them and Milwaukee just doesn't – the shit don't look real. Like, it looks like – it looks – it reminds me of those Clipper teams with Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Matt Barnes and them, like – it looks good.
Except Giannis is all three of them combined.
Exactly.
He might be the difference. Like, he very well, like, it's no missing it. We've never seen a player like that.
Well, but talk about the playoffs, though. I mean, once we get closer, and we're pretty close, right? July 31st is when those games will start. Talk to us about – you're going to have a lot to talk about, D-Ray, once the games do start.
So you because better I think get that, practicing now. You better get ready.
I mean, there's a lot of question marks, obviously, behind the Sixers. People talk about how they're absolute garbage away, right? One of the worst, like, away team in the NBA. But this is kind of – this is a neutral site, so maybe it's not necessarily an away game. It's obviously not a home game, so you don't have the Philly crowd like you're talking about. That everyone loved Iverson so much. And I know they show up every game and whoever is playing for the Sixers. So talk a little bit about what you think the team can do. Can they get deep in the playoffs? Is that possible?
Hell yeah. So this is where I'm at with the Sixers. I can't negate the fact that they were terrible on the road, but they had like the best home record. Like consequently, it was weird. Like, and I think that's just a young team.
Is that a Brett Brown problem? Are we talking? No. You're in on him. You like him. No. You think this media about him being gone is nonsense.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's bull. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you're talking about somebody that coached under Popovich for how long. He knows winning basketball. He knows what that looks like. But he also got this shit, not only through the process, but to this point. Like, if he does, they do fire him, it better be a Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr type situation.
Tyronn Lue. You're all going to get Ty Lue, bro.
What do you say?
Ty Lue. Watch it be Ty Lue.
Hell no.
You want to see another march in Philly? That'll be the day Ty Lue gets hired.
Let me not say hell no, Ty Lue. Because at the end of the day, Ty Lue does know winning basketball. He was on those Lakers teams. He's with the Cavs. So, like, he does know what it looks like. But the whole get rid of Brett Brown thing is going to fix everything. It's like you're talking about young players. And I said a million times before, if you're paying one guy $100 and you're paying another guy $5, and you tell the guy who has 5 to boss around the guy who has 100. Like, it's just, it's only so far of a rope these coaches in the NBA really have, because you're dealing with an egotistical league. Like, it's just so many things that play into
it. Two-star-driven league. I mean, it's gone. I don't remember where we were. Maybe we were talking yesterday about it. But it was something along the lines of coaches are just different. They're not the X's and O's. It's not. First of all, it's not. You don't have a guy like your head coach in college. I mean, comparatively to a head coach in the NBA, even like a top head coach, it's a different for two different sports.
That's why a lot of them don't even go. That's why a lot of the college coaches won't go to the NBA, because they can't talk to players and deal with players the way they do.
Hoiberg flopped, dude. Fred Hoiberg flopped.
Exactly. You're not in control unless you're like a Billy Donovan, where you go and you have control over a lot of things.
He's scary looking.
He looks like a Batman villain. But the Sixers are in a position where, like, a lot of shit is on the line. And I'm happy about that. I think that's necessary, especially for the season they just had.
What do you think about breaking him up? What do you think about that?
I think it's dumb.
I think if anybody had to go – because you say them, you're talking about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, right?
Yeah.
No one's taking on
Tobias Harris's contract.
Horford replaceable, Tobias Harris replaceable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Overpaid and replaceable. Yeah, but
yeah. Horford's definitely overpaid. That was Elton Brand seeing a younger him. I think that he's the modern day Elton Brand. I think I would keep Ben Simmons.
You have to, just because the injuries and because of, you know, I think Embiid's attitude to me sometimes kind of wears thin. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like his vibe was funny and goofy and cool at first. And I think now it's kind of gone in a direction where I've enjoyed him less. I don't know. Am I crazy? Am I the only one that thinks that?
Embiid's awesome to watch. I just think that,
as
like
a player, he's incredible.
From a conditioning standpoint, like I want to make sure that my number one superstar can play all the games. And I don't know if Embiid and go deep through the playoffs. And I don't know if Embiid can do that,
and
even
Simmons
though Simmons has
high,
had his battles with injuries.
But Simmons is a higher you know, ceiling, I think.
I agree.
If he can get that shot going, which is
yeah.
So D-Ray, do we have you still? I lost your own video.
No. I'm still here. My fault. I had to plug in the charger. I didn't want that whole fiasco on camera.
No, you good.
No,
man.
You're good.
Good.
You heard that one.
Got you. That was good. What's like? You give me your heart take and give me your head take. Where does your head say the Sixers are going? Like, how deep?
Like, realistically, I see them making it past whoever. If they have the Celtics first, which I would love, I see them making it past them. I think that was the whole point of getting Al Horford, because he was really the only thing on the Celtics that was going to stop Embiid and stop the Sixers from getting past them. Like, I think that was why they went and got Al Horford. I'm just mad they paid that much for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You didn't have to give everything up. You knew what you were doing. But I see whoever they go against first, I see them making it past that round just because of the pressure. And then it's a toss-up from there. It really depends on the matchup. I think if they see the Bucks in the second round, no.
If they get the momentum, though, if they go to, let's say they get Boston first, which we all have Boston going. I think Nick and I have Boston going to the finals. And then I think Toss, you imagine them going decently deep, I'd assume.
They were my quote-unquote dark horse.
Quote-unquote dark horse.
Although they shouldn't be, because you can't really be a dark horse if you're the number three seed. But
right.
But we're not going to be picked in the Magic. You know, I don't care if it is played in Orlando.
Hell no. I think, I mean, with basically like where the records play out right now, you guys can only really play the Pacers or the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Celtics,
but that's a game
unless
changer.
Unless the Raptors have a total
meltdown,
total bomb, but they're not going to, because Nick Nurse is a fantastic head coach.
He's the best.
I think the chemistry is going to continue that they had. I mean, I think if you guys like the matchup with the Celtics is a lot more appealing for you guys than it is with the Heat, where they can throw Bam in front of Embiid and kind of negate you guys a little bit. I think they actually are not a great matchup for you guys.
I don't think the Heat are a threat at all.
Really?
I think the biggest threat on the Heat is Jimmy Butler, because he knows the scheme, and quite frankly, it's the mental game. But you're talking about a bunch of guys who either haven't been in the playoffs or haven't done shit in them.
Yeah.
And like, different brand of basketball. Not saying that Ben Simmons has showed up, you know, to a great extent, but at some point he has to. You know what I mean?
You're gonna tell me that the Heat, with an old veteran Andre Iguodala on their roster, are going to come back
and Spoelstra,
beat
bro.
The Sixers.
But Spoelstra, too, man. You cannot check Spoelstra at the door.
Well, I'm just the Sixers connection with Iggy, though, man.
Oh, yeah, your heart's going to be torn.
The prodigal son returns, and he takes down his...
The way you just said that reminded me of the John Wall Max Kimmel. He goes, you're telling me Golden State Warriors have the last shot, game on the line, alien with their fingers on the death beam pointed at Earth? Who's taking a shot? I'm going with Andre Iguodala.
I can't believe he said that.
That's hilarious. That's amazing.
No, I'm not sold on the Heat. I'm not sold because they're young players.
They're young.
Yeah.
I would rather play, honestly, with all this time with Oladipo being back. If Oladipo's back, I may rather play the Heat than the Pacers. McMillan's dangerous. Oladipo's dangerous. Sabonis is
like, if Oladipo's, if he's back to prime form, like we're talking about, he and Brogdon together for years to come could be a really nice 1-2 combo.
Did you ever play against Brogdon?
Yeah, when he's at Virginia, they fucking killed us. Oh my god, it was ridiculous. It was funny. Like, Chris was telling us going into the game, he was like, we used to work out together, and
Chris Jenkins.
He said I've never seen a guy. He said, you know, one on one, like, you know, you're gonna get around the guy, you got to give up some points. He was like, one-on-one top of the key, you aren't getting past him. Like, ah, man, get out of here. You didn't see it. That game, he got over every screen. Whoever he stayed in front of, he was there every time, and he can hoop on offense. Like, he's not just some defensive specialist that it's like, that's all. He's not like Tony Allen. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, yeah, not at all.
That's all it's going to be. Like, he's a bucket. And like you said, I'm much more scared of who has Oladipo. All right, cool. You throw a smile on him. Who has Michael Brogdon? And then their cast around them, I'm way more worried about a healthy and enthused Pacers team that has always had a chip on their shoulder as a franchise. Yeah. You know what I mean? Than a Miami Heat team that probably is riding a little high.
And they're young, and they're playing better than expected. The Pacers team, everyone's counting them out again. No one's talking about them again. It's the same song we hear every time.
And they're just a bunch of underrated players, I feel like. Like, Sabonis against Horford, we're going to see how old Al Horford actually is. Like,
I don't think Al Horford should be out there, bro, as much as he is. I'm sorry.
Bring back Spencer Hawes?
No, I mean, he's old, man. He's 34. Like, it's catching up with them, unfortunately. Like, I love Al Horford, and he's such a great competitor. He's such a good leader in college and in the pros, obviously.
It's a new team. He was great the year before. He was great the year before for Boston. It's a brand-new team. You got to see how you fit. He's playing – I mean, Embiid's the five. He was playing the five for Boston, quote-unquote. I mean, I know his position.
It's just
but
something about – I think it's because the scheme – like, the Sixers, quite frankly, are best in transition. It ain't no secret that they can't.
Yeah.
But they're not exactly a half-court team. And it's like
– and he's a half-court player, especially now.
A half-court player. And to me – I remember somebody asked me, like, who would you start? Would you start a Shake Milton – or Matisse Thybul for the sake of, I was like, I would start anybody if it meant Al Horford coming off the bench for stretches of the game. I don't think start off a team that runs that much with a guy who doesn't.
I'm okay with that.
Get him to like just have him spell Embiid, like when Embiid needs to take a breather and bring him in and play Horford 20 to 25 minutes, but like where he's getting out there and he's giving it all.
That's an expensive spell.
That's the problem.
I mean, you want to win championships, you gotta adjust. You gotta make changes.
That's like me paying.
The money can't matter at that point.
Yeah, it's like me paying for SiriusXM when I got an aux cord. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Bro, like,
I mean, I like Shake Milton though. I like putting him in there for another shooting asset.
I like the Thybul thing. If you're playing Boston, you throw in Thybul, go, okay, all you gotta do is catch an oop here and there and just make Kemba's life a living hell. Careful, the top 15 player, bro.
It's players get to a point where you're not going to shut them down. It's just how hard they have to work. Jason Tatum's going to get his 2025. It's how many shots do you take to get to that 2025?
How many
guys aren't getting the ball because you're taking that many shots? Like, I feel like that's what defense in the NBA is about. It ain't about shutting down. Mm-hmm. It's about limiting and making sure that you're taken away from their scheme.
I like that. I like that a lot. And then it's a great point. And Oladipo is a guy we didn't mention in the top 15, but if he's healthy, like, where's he at there?
Right outside,
but he's close. He's close.
I'm taking Jason Tatum over Oladipo.
Full health.
I am too.
I think we've all forgotten how good VO is, and not just on SoundCloud. I'm talking about on the court.
But it is, like, we don't know if he's going to Paul George this thing, right? I mean, it was a slow comeback for him this year, and he looked good, but he didn't look like the Oladipo that dropped 30+ against LeBron in the playoffs.
He was sick in the playoffs. I hope he doesn't Hayward this thing.
Yeah.
One good every five games. But to kick it to college, I mean, this is something I was really curious to ask you about. Melo's come out and said it. Isaiah Thomas, Mikey Williams going to an HBCU school. What's your take on that? A guy of that pedigree making that change, making that shift. Do you think that would change the landscape? Let's say you're in his grade, right? Let's say you're in that freshman class now, about to be sophomore, you're 23 class, and you're going to go into college when Mikey Williams goes to college. You see a guy of that pedigree go to one of those schools. Are you considering following suit, or are you going to still go to a Nova school? Like, be real. Like, I'm just out of curiosity.
I think it'll be like the G League thing. For me, yeah, I'm following that. Especially what's going on now, I'm following that. But I think, I mean, because of what's going on now, it might happen a little faster, but I compared it to what happened with guys going to the G League. Because the first players to do that weren't in this class, and it wasn't last year either with the kid they call Baby Russ. It wasn't like that of kids going straight to the G League. It was I want to say like back in like 14 or 15 was the first time you heard about it. And it kind of got quiet. It didn't really get media coverage. It kind of got swept under the rug.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't Jalen Green, right? Exactly. Like it wasn't. Yeah.
Exactly. Isaiah Todd. And more
players started to realize like that is the thing. But I think the HBCU thing is huge. And I think it changes the dynamic of everything. Now, how long does it catch on if it's not a one and done type of player because of the resources those schools have? You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, Duke is Duke. And their resources are what they are.
LeBron going to send is he going to send Bronny to one of those schools, or is he going to send them to Duke, Ohio State, UNC? And what is or can he? I mean, can he afford to, cuz then people will, if Mikey goes there but LeBron has Bronny go to Duke, how does that look on him? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, how does that compare to Ja going to like Murray State, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's a fluke thing. I mean, a lot of those guys are like Lillard, like those guys, Steph, they came out of nowhere. Those guys are like unheralded. I mean, to your point, Nick.
They weren't as highly touted in high school like Mikey Williams was, where Ja developed, right? Same thing with like a guy like Damian Lillard.
I think an interesting thing though, Nick, if a guy like Mikey Williams does go to one of those schools, now all the spotlight's going to be on those schools. There could have been guys we missed. You know what I'm saying?
I like it, Nick. I definitely like Nick that Murray State thing. I completely, you know what I mean. Like for what Murray State is, that was kind of like, what the fuck is going on over here?
Yeah.
But I think it'll change things. I think LeBron's gonna do whatever's popular at the time. So if the shit dies down, LeBron's gonna make sure his ass is up under Coach K. But if it's a situation where, you know, Bronny James is going to Howard because the last, what is he? He about to be a junior or sophomore?
Sophomore.
About to be a sophomore. Sophomore.
Yeah, the last two classes, they all had somebody go to HBCUs. I think at that point, Bron's going to a Howard or a Hampton, you know, something like that.
That'd be wild.
That changes everything. But I mean, this is a time where it's like, you see, this shit is. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when the world gets redistracted, quite frankly. But, like, right now, this shit is.
How is it in Philly, man? How has it been? Crazy? Have you been out and about?
Yeah. So, I went to a couple of the protests. That one, I didn't go to the one that Kyle and them went to. The one with Kyle, Matisse Thybulle, and Tobias Harris were all down there. Like, that was the craziest one. But, like, they running down on police stations. You know what I mean? I say running down, I mean protesting peacefully. Shit, it's cops out with like riot shit. I was in the city yesterday. It was like 10 in the morning. And I'm seeing cops with like their shields and helmets on already.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So and I was in Brentwood the other day because Josh and I used to work in Brentwood. But there's like little islands in between the road of like grass. And like every other island, there was like a National Guard truck. It's like, come on, bro. You're saying that Brentwood is like that bad right now? I don't see a single protester in Brentwood.
But like, that's the stigma. That's the issue. Is like these people in Brentwood, it's part of that. That's a major part of the problem. It's the people of Brentwood, they need to be quote unquote protected. And then you're just adding that level of, it's just a vicious cycle of that. It's the same thing of like people in my town. My town, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, D-Ray, there was a town in New York that is now the most racist town above the Mason-Dixon line. It's my town in Merrick. That's what there was blocking with cars, the protests coming through from one side. And obviously, you know, that's just wrong in itself, but it's part of the problem. People thinking they need protection when it's just, if you let them walk and heard what they said, obviously the looters are bad. And Nick, you saw that right next to your house. And we haven't spoken about that on the show. But Nick, right next to Nick's house, it was, I mean, you were shook that day. That's like literally right next to you, bro. His whole 7-Eleven was crushed.
That obviously sucks that like the looting and the rioting happened. But like, you know, I think for me, like it's not the biggest problem that we have right now.
That's just trickle over.
Yeah.
I would love to ask, obviously they're, you know, basketball and media are so intertwined, right? Like that's why basketball in the United States, that's why we're talking about Mikey Williams, is because we've seen him play as a freshman. We've seen Bronny play because they're on social media. Zaire Wade has like 5 million followers on on Instagram.
He's more popular
stuff like that. You know, he's got his own brands.
Than De'Aaron Fox. He's more popular. Mike Williams is more popular than the best player in the Sacramento Kings. Facts.
So obviously basketball is super important in social media in the culture of kids growing up. What do you think? And we've seen a lot of the NBA players kind of being on the front lines of these protests, which is awesome. Love to see them advocating for the cause because they have big platforms and people listen to their voice. What do you think it's going to look like when the NBA does come back? Like I have to imagine that there's going to be some of that carried over into the games and into
I saw that today.
Into everything.
I saw that today about the national anthem maybe being played. What do you think is going to happen there? Someone said they may not even play it, which is I think that'd be crazy. I don't know, or not televise it. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I think the national anthem is going to be played. It's going to be interesting how players react to that.
Yeah.
I really think it's all going to be contingent upon how much real change is made up until then. You know what I mean? They got till the end of July, which really isn't that far out.
And right.
The problems we talking about ain't overnight problems. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when I think it back, because it's like if a lot of progress is made, then things will slow down. If it seems like it's that much more resistance, then you're going to have guys putting up fists the entire time the anthem is up, or guys just not coming out until it's over. Like, it'll be so many. It has the potential to get uglier, a lot uglier, if sports come back and these issues aren't addressed or at least look like they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised, honestly. Like, the most surprising thing in everything coming back was that the Players Association was on board for what was put in front of them. And I understand that a lot of it is a business decision, right? Like, they're not playing, they're not getting paid, which is huge. This is how everyone makes their living in the league. But I also was thinking about it, and I was like, if any of these players sat out, they have every right to do that because there are bigger issues going on than basketball. I mean, like, obviously me as a basketball fan, like, I want to see the NBA back. I think a lot of us are just a little stir crazy from being pent up in our houses, and any type of sports for any sports fans are going to be welcomed with open arms. So, I mean, there's no one more excited than me, but I'm excited to see how NBA players going forward continue to like use their voices. Cause I know, like, as a basketball player, as a kid who loved hooping when I was little, like, the guys I looked up to were like the guys in the NBA, like AI, who we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Like, talk about like guys that were my idols. Like, every kid idolized AI. They idolized the crossover. They idolized, I mean, maybe some of this is misappropriated for a white kid, but like the culture of AI as well is like, I wanted the sick sneakers. Like, I wanted to be like him.
Bro,
you know what I want.
You two know what I
Yeah, tell D-Ray about this, Josh. This is great.
I had to leave so we didn't get to start the doc, but when I get back in early July, we're going to start filming a documentary. I collect hats. You remember my room, bro, it's gotten crazier. So we got robbed. All those hats got stolen, and then I replaced all of them, and I've doubled it. So my whole wall of my room is like 50. I look like a lid store. It's like 50 hats strung across the wall. I think my dad's like, he's looking at me like shaking his head right now. He's in the living room. Waste of money. It's AI wears a hat in the practice speech. It's the Red Sox hat. I can't find that hat anywhere.
I'm not cool with a hat.
It's a Red Sox hat?
AI is wearing a Red Sox hat in the practice speech.
Isn't that wild that like you're just a massive Red Sox fan? I can't believe he was wearing that hat.
I know.
But you keep.
And I can't find it. So the documentary is about the hunt for the Red Sox hat. I'm going to try to find it.
D-Ray's like, I think I know where that is. I think I can find it for you.
I'm going to the Boston August. I'm like, I get you one. Shit, I didn't realize it was that hard to find.
Is it, Josh, is it the style of that? Is it that specific Sox hat?
Yes.
For a second, I was like, you want the hat that was on AI's head? And I was like, okay.
Obviously, I want that. I'll dumpster dive for years for that thing. But that's again goes to the culture. And so I think I wanted to ask you this at the top at the end. It's my big question for you, D-Ray, and I want to hear Toss and Nick your answers too. Who are your five biggest sports idols? Five guys you
like personal or just like personal. Who are the biggest?
No. For you, your five biggest. Like, guys you looked up to, like, cherished watching play. It could be any sport. Five guys. You go, D-Ray, you got it? Or whoever's got it? Who you got?
Kobe, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali will be second.
Okay.
Hakeem Olajuwon, third.
Ooh.
Dare I say Babe Ruth. Let's call it what it is. And the fifth? Serena.
Nice.
Ooh. Why Babe Ruth?
Yeah, that's my big question.
I don't know a shit ton about him or his career.
Yeah.
Except for the way
he was wild.
I was about to say.
He would eat like fucking like 20 hot dogs in a game, smoking cigars.
I think it was. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know like a lot of the reason why I like had this image of Babe Ruth in my head of who he was because of The Sandlot too. Because I watched that movie when I was growing up and like he's so revered by all those kids. That, like, exactly. I think people forget like how much we were talking about Remember the Titans. People forget like how much we absorbed as we were kids, like with the video games that we were playing, with the TV like shows that we were watching, the movies, the sports that were on TV, like all that stuff, or even what like anyone was telling us that was older than us. Like if a kid that was 6 years older than us at school liked this player, like I might have liked that player. You know, like stuff like that always has an effect on us. And it's like Babe Ruth is for whatever reason, like even though when did he play? He played in like the 30s.
The 20s and 30s.
Like
it was
100 years ago.
Between his influence on the game, obviously Sandlot was a big deal. But I had heard, like Jordan, if there was social media around, you would have thought a lot differently of him. I didn't know about the eating 20 hot dogs and all that, but he just, we'll call it what it is. From what I know, he was a bad motherfucker. And it's just, it's like, I respect him.
Calling shots, for sure. I mean, there's a reason you know certain guys by just one name. Either or first and last name, you know. If someone says Ruth, you think you know. If someone says Babe, you know what they're talking about. You know exactly what they're talking about, you know. And it's people don't even know his full real name. They just know that he just has that nickname and it's an icon, like similar to Ali. Honestly, I mean, how many people are our age? No one saw him box. No one. No one saw him even, you know, fight, unless you're watching documentaries.
Even with those cameras they had, that shit was amazing. Obviously, you hear about the name Muhammad Ali. It wasn't until Will Smith, another GOAT, but obviously not
Ali.
Exactly. When he had that movie, but then I went back and like watched the fights that you could watch of him, and it was like, it was real. Like, it was real. Like, at 6'4", 6'5", like, he was giving out work, but it was so fat. The only person that I remember fighting and like, it, not, I said remember fighting, remember seeing fighting and shit look like that was Bruce Lee. Like, in the sense of when you're watching on film, it almost doesn't look like, you would think it was edited or something, how fast he was or the way he was moving. Like, I was
checking out some of the Bruce Lee documentary the other day on, I didn't get to get the whole thing, but they're also like talking about Ali a little bit. And like, I was just thinking to myself, can you imagine, like, you know, when you're face to face with Muhammad Ali, the guy in front of him, he has to think in his head, I'm going to beat this guy. There's no way in hell that I'm ever in my mind thinking I'm going to beat Muhammad Ali in a fight. Like, that, you have to be out of your mind.
But it's that one guy, dude. It's like Buster Douglas. Like, he really thought he could beat Mike Tyson, and he did it. Like, no, bro, nobody thought he was going to win.
I also think, like, everybody was fighting Muhammad Ali. Like, boxers and, like, UFC guys, like, their faces take a toll from all the, like, the hitting, right? Especially in boxing, you're just getting punched over and over. You know, stuff starts to happen to your face. You kind of get to see a little bit of that. But that guy was like model handsome. Like, I feel like if I was across from him, I'd be like, has anyone touched this guy's face? Like, what's going on? Like, it's crazy.
He was on another level. But you know, I ain't gonna lie, as a Philly guy, we straight up bring up, but you know who whooped his ass though?
Rocky.
Huh? No.
Rocky.
Joe Frazier.
My first dog was smoking Joe Frazier, bro. My first family dog was named after him. We've now downgraded. We're no longer naming dogs after boxers, just after TV show characters in the family. Nick, who you got? Five.
Rocky.
LaDainian Tomlinson, number one. Peyton Manning, number two. He was so big for me growing up. Nice. I remember like when I got a Peyton Manning jersey for the holidays was like one of my, you know, best moments. Albert Pujols. That guy just for kids our age, like, was the most deadly hitter there was.
Too, bro.
Let's see. LeBron, I mean, gotta throw him in there. Mm-hmm. I had a poster of him on my wall, and You know, he really started playing when I actually started taking interest in basketball, because I wasn't really like raised to watch basketball like you guys were, like for me, yeah, just baseball and football. And then, you know, once I started getting older, that's like, you know, kind of when the LeBron stardom started happening. That's four. My fifth is tough. I mean, I want to throw Ken Griffey in there, but I don't feel like I saw enough of his play to kind of really idolize him.
Okay.
I'll say maybe a defensive player, like in football, because that I loved it. I loved Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, you do.
He was great.
Can't beat the hair, man.
Well, it must be the hair cotton. Feathery and soul.
Is that the Head and Shoulders commercial?
No. The Dodgeball.
That's Dodgeball?
Yeah.
Dodgeball, yeah.
Well, I know Pepper and Cotton's Dodgeball, Jason Bateman. Wait, who are they talking about when they're
Ben Stiller's character?
Yeah,
White Goodman. That he was on my Mount Rushmore of movie characters, sports movies.
he's absurd, dude. He's great.
Toss once dressed like him for a dodgeball tournament, right, Toss?
I did. D-Ray, we'll have to send you the photo. I actually did pretty good job.
Yeah, he crushed it.
I grew my hair out for 3 months. I grew my beard out for a month and then shaved it into a Fu Manchu the day before. It was pretty solid.
D-Ray, I was trying to find your number to text you the other day. I had to DM you for your number. I was like, I can't find D-Ray's number. Obviously, I'm typing in Daryl. I'm typing in Reynolds like an idiot and didn't think to type in D-Ray. And then as soon as I just did D and then went to go R-E-Y, or I did R-E-Y, then it came up. I was like, oh, my God, stupid moron.
I was like, y'all said that. I was like, damn, man.
I know. We had a text thread. We had a conversation. I had spoken to you previously. Like, it was like, it's not like it was fresh out the boat type thing. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
No context clues. Toss, who are your five?
Kobe. Ken Griffey. A part of that is too, because I had a brother who was 6 years older than me. We had a Nintendo 64, and I had NBA courtside, like 99, with Kobe Bryant on the front, and I had Ken Griffey baseball. Those were my two like favorite games growing up. Yeah. So they were the cover athletes, and they were the guys that I always followed Ken Griffey. You guys know I'm not the most huge baseball fan, but as a kid, I loved Griffey when he was on the Reds too.
Sick.
And I loved backyard base. I'm a big gamer. So it's like a lot of that stuff has to do with it. Like he wore the backwards hat.
Yeah.
The backwards hat, like the kid, like I love Griffey's just awesome. Yeah, Kobe, of course. I think Dirk has to be on there. Dallas guy. I mean, it's same thing as Kobe. Just like a guy who commits to one team and brings that team a championship. I don't think there's really anything better than that. It's tough though. It's like, I don't know. Maybe I watched a lot of soccer as a kid. I watched a lot of hockey, like Mike Modano, who's like basically the best American hockey player, played for the Stars, brought us a Stanley Cup, like maybe him. I'll throw him in there. And then my fifth one, it's gotta be another basketball guy. And, you know, as Wade, LeBron and Melo, like all came up, the one that I gravitated the most to was Carmelo. Because part of it, I think, is because he won that championship in college. And I used to play like, I used to run around my house like with a little mini basketball, and I would like shoot it into the trash can, and I would play out the entire tournament where I would play like one team versus another, and I would give like the higher seeds a handicap. I used to be number 15 and, you know, growing up in SVAA basketball, like basketball stuff like that. So Melo, I
love
Melo.
Nice.
I ain't gonna hold you real quick for you to say yours, Josh. I gotta swap one out.
Yeah,
I gotta swap out Hakeem for Tom Brady. I don't know how, but Tom Brady is, you hate it or love it. Like I think it's for the same reason I love Kobe. It's their approach to everything. Like when I heard that shit about him cutting out sugar, his diet, so he could play into his 40s and well into his 40s. Like, I was like, this motherfucker's animal. Like, it's just the mentality of it is different
bro. Different breed, yeah. Bro. Different breed.
I definitely would have had pending, you know, he would have been in there if he hadn't have made some crucial legal mistakes. But growing up, my favorite football player was Michael Vick, like hands down. He was a lefty. I loved it.
Crucial. I had the Michael Vick shoes.
You had the shoes.
It's a crucial thing that happened that I love dogs, so I can't put him in there. But like, I loved my dad was a Falcons fan, so like that was where I didn't really love the Cowboys, who were like my hometown team when I was growing up, because like there was like all these struggles with Romo and Jerry Jones and all this stuff.
They weren't great early on.
Yeah, but I loved Mike Vick until
I totally blew it. Randy Moss over Paul Amalo. That's my shit.
Yeah, Randy's your guy.
He's my guy. They both know he's my guy.
Nick is a massive Randy Moss fan. Just, yeah,
in another league.
Remember, people used to go that shit. I don't get Moss. Like when you be like,
oh yeah,
like, some shit playing.
Moss. Like, it's the same thing as Kobe. Kobe. Exactly. Moss. Exactly. Same thing.
Like if somebody could get it.
Nick, I think other than LT, I think he has to be your favorite. Just from what we've talked about, he's got to be your second favorite athlete, probably behind LaDainian Tomlinson. Right. Close.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Mine's Brady, obviously. Poppy, also obviously. Ray Allen, because I love Ray Allen. Albert Pujols, as I mentioned before, we had a similar one. I mean, I remember he was like the first guy I knew as like, this guy's unbeatable. Like, you can't get this guy out. And that was like my first kind of, you know, real realization of like what it meant to be a superstar, Hall of Famer, the pinnacle at your game. And then Usain Bolt is like, I think Usain Bolt, honestly, outside of Brady, is my favorite athlete.
Dominant. It's dominant.
Sick. I almost we
can't
were,
coach speed.
When we were at when we were in Miami, D-Ray, we went to this event, Jay Glazer's event at some club, and he had like an auction, and there was a Usain signed jersey from like the Olympics. It was like $800. I was about to risk it all. I was like, fuck it. I may miss rent this month, but goddamn, I'm gonna have this jersey somehow, some way framed up. I'll flip it if I need to, God forbid. But I almost went for it.
That's like 20 more hats, Josh.
I know.
Is it worth the trade?
Exactly. Good point, bro. I still need a couple of NBA teams, and then I can go get it. D-Ray, we'll let you rock and roll, man. Always a pleasure. But before you go, who's your finals? NBA finals winner, and who you got? Who do you got over? Western Conference, Eastern Conference?
I hate to admit it.
Yeah.
All right. From the East, I can't see anybody but the Bucks making it, because Toronto don't have they don't have Kawhi, and but this year has been odd enough, so it probably won't be. It'll just top it off. But I hate to admit it, I don't see anybody beating the Lakers, man.
With you,
I just don't. Barring an injury or them really just like getting hit by the Space Jam juice, like. I don't see anybody beating the Lakers. And that shit sucks.
Yeah, I think I have the Lakers. Toss, you have the Lakers as well. And Nick, you have the Clippers.
Yeah. Represent.
Represent, baby. Oh, we love it.
If they do win, like, Kawhi is on another level. Like,
yeah.
He may not be, like, the GOAT, but, like, as far as the best Omega ever, like, the same way Hakeem was, like, the best, like, kind of off-to-the-side player, like, you have
right.
to. That shit's next level.
There's right. just like something with like he's never gonna win a scoring title.
No,
but like, but part of that is because like he'll never be in the position to. He'll never have to because he'll never play that amount of minutes. Like he'll never be top in minutes. He'll never be top in points. But if he ends up with like 4 or 5 rings by the time he's done, I mean the guy just wins.
Here's the thing though, like this year isn't even their. I mean it's a good shot, but like this isn't their only shot this year. Like they have the exact same team next year with maybe minus Montrezl Harrell, but like. They can get it done next year too, you know, with a aging Lakers team. So.
Watch Montrez take a 1-year deal, and kick it if they don't win. He'll do.
I mean, the thing is that team, like they're just like the chemistry there is so good, and like they're all dogs, and like they all have the same mentality, and it's like you know Patrick Beverly and Lou Will and all those guys, they play the same, and mean. I think
Harrell leaves is I don't know if Harrell leaves, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I agree. He's so important.
He's a big part for sure. I mean, after him, like, I mean, it's like Zubac, who's like, what's he going to do? You know what I mean?
He's fine. You can get 20 decent minutes out of him, but like, you don't want him.
You don't want that. Nobody. You
yeah,
don't,
I mean, he's a good backup center.
You don't want no part of that, Dewey. You don't want no part of that, Dewey. You don't want no part of that.
The only person who I would love to see, who I could see filling in that spot, the way he plays, Bam. But like Montrezl Harrell is a beast. It's quiet because he's on the West Coast. But like
he's yeah. like Kenneth. He's like Kenneth Freed, but he can score, bro.
Exactly.
He's an animal. He was what a flash in the pan. Kenneth Freed was. I loved him as well.
He was so good.
He's not my top five. But he's definitely top 10 for influential players.
You got any you got any dark horses, D-Ray, from Western Eastern Conference? One dark horse from each.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Obviously, you're Sixers.
I'm not sold on the Celtics. Yeah, obviously, I wanted the Sixers to win. I would say that Pacers team, if Oladipo comes okay. back with some shit. And as far as the West Coast go, I think the West is going to come down to who makes it out. I think the NBA title is going to come down to who makes it out of Staples.
If you had like one Western team to be a dark horse, though, who would you pick?
Chris Paul.
It's okay. You can do it, D-Ray. You can pick Dallas. You can do it.
Nah, I ain't sold on Dallas. You know, I got ties to Dallas, but nah.
No, dude, they got time. I'm not. I mean, they got plenty of time.
Dare I say the Jazz?
Ooh.
Okay.
For some reason, I'm so out on them. I'm over them.
The bottom just doesn't.
Dude, you never know, man. They all had COVID-19. They might have come back with some superpowers or something and play differently.
I'm not even like what's going on currently with them. It's just like this whole like I was big on them last year. I was like, they could do it. They could upset the Rockets if they play them in a series. And I was just so wrong. And
if
like
if Conley was good, then I would be with you, D-Ray. But he's blown nuts. That's been my issue, right? If Conley was good with this team, then I'd be again, maybe some time off.
Maybe what he needed was an extended offseason.
Yeah.
You know that D-Ray Bogdanovich he's out?
Oh yeah, no, that changes.
Yeah.
Damn, I don't know. I mean, shit. Somebody said the Rockets. I like the Rockets. It's just something about them never is done. I remember Kobe has said it about them when he asked about James Harden, but obviously Russ being there changes that. He was like, they're not going to win with that style of basketball. You know, that whole just get one guy the ball and everybody get out the way. Like, that shit doesn't win championships.
No way. You need movement. Yeah. Need movement. Yeah. Well, we love seeing you shaking and moving, D-Ray. Always a pleasure having you on. We'll chop it up post-NBA finals to get a recap going if you're game. I assume you are because it's always a blast.
Hell yeah.
You always got to come on
the show with me and bros, man.
Dude, I'm down. We're down, I guess. No one ever asks us. I feel like I'm always inviting people to my birthday party, but maybe people forget my address. And it's the U.S. mail's been weird, bro. Amazon's backed up. I'm not sweating it. Yeah, we're down. We're 100% down. You let us know. We'll link up and guest. I know where my Wi-Fi spot in my house is in New York, and so we're chilling. We're ready to roll. All right, D-Ray, you the man. Thank you for joining, brother.
All right, fellas.
Couldn't have had more fun with D-Ray. Love him. Great guy. Great guest. Can't wait to hop on his show with Toss and Nick. Do a little crossover right there. Speaking of crossover, crossover from the podcast realm to the gambling realm. That's right. Go support our sponsor, betonline.ag. Betonline.ag. Use the promo code MYPOD100 and they'll match your deposit up to $1,000 as a welcome bonus. How generous of them. You want to win some money? Bet on the futures. That's right. The NBA is coming back. NHL is coming back. NFL, NCAA, looks like they're happening. Golf going down. Golf was great today. Had a lovely day watching golf with the family, kicking it in the backyard, so I can't complain right there. There's a boatload of stuff to bet on. Go bet on the online casino. I haven't had much luck there, but maybe you will. Who knows? BetOnline.ag, our boys over there. Can't say enough good things about them. Can't say enough good things again about our guest, D-Ray. Can't wait to have him back post-NBA finals, which we're obviously stoked about. Go check him out and Stay Tuned Network. He's doing a lot of great stuff. He's a great interviewer, in my opinion. Does a really good job over there. Gets a lot of the Nova guys during the season. He's got a great relationship, which is important to see, if I may commentate on that a little bit. It's good to see a former player come back and see how well-respected he is, if that says anything about him at all. So, yeah, D-Ray, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to having you back. To the fans out there, drag both feet in bounds. Swing on a full count. Rip that puck. Hit that putt. Hit your PKs because they're free. And hit your free throws. Why? Because they are free. We out you. We love you.
Gardner puts it up. No!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.